It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Check it out,
John. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation if you'd like to do so. As we welcome you to our number two of the Sports Hangover, our thanks to head coach Corey Brown of your New Orleans Gold, as he will join us on Wednesdays to talk about his team and where they are as they will be heading over to the New England Jacks and play them. They are 2-0 on the season, hoping, of course, to improve the 3-0 on the year. Coming up this hour, we'll be speaking with Aaron Summers at 1:15, 1:30. Jack Benjamin will join us, voice of your Nickel State Colonels, as they won yesterday in overtime in dramatic fashion. And they will be playing for a chance to go dancing in the Southland Conference Championship tonight, right here on ESPN New Orleans. So, big news, obviously, for them to be able to get that to the title game. And again, it's going to be fun. So we'll preview that coming up. Sean Fox at 2:15, and over at 2:30, we will have Ralph Marlborough get his thoughts as to what all the Saints news. Remember, he was begging for Saints news. He just wanted some sort of Saints news.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more than what that Candle Wednesday hump day is. What it is.
Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Paving. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Paving it? Give them a call, 985-960-2131. Might need them to do my driveway. Little peace and humpiness forever. Jeff Box also coming up from ESPN Bet at 1:45. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the LaRue Studios. 800-998-1003. I see you, Cage and Goat. Give me a second to set up this segment. Erin Summers coming up at 1:15. Well, she's the Saints and Pelicans team reporter. She'll be over at the arena tonight as the Pelicans take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got the Clippers coming up on Friday. And that is a big, big game, because depending on how things are, could be playing for fourth. Could be playing for fourth if the Clippers don't get any wins there. So, Coach had this to say on the Cavs, and we'll get to you, Cajun Go.
They're a hard-nosed team. They're a good defensive team. It's not going to be a game that, you know, necessarily offensively will be easy right out the gate. It's going to be a game that we're going to have to work at on both ends of the floor. They're tough. They execute. So it'll be a good test on our home floor.
All right, for sure. Cajun Goat, thank you for calling us this hour, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gus. I'm doing great. I'm glad to see the Pelicans back in action. This time off period here, man, it's got me just roaming around the TV looking at these games, you know?
Right.
So I'm excited, man. I'm excited for this Pelican game tonight. I'm excited to see if they're going to keep going in the direction they're going. They're trending up, you know, and they need to keep trending up. And this is one of them crucial games, Gus. I'm going to call it a crucial game because we've having a hard time winning that twist in a row. It seems like every time we come to game five, we have a little letdown there. So I'd like to see us not have a letdown on that fifth win. But I'm really excited. Can you tell me anything about what happened with Kawhi Leonard last night? Why he just left the stadium?
What they're saying is back spasms is what they're saying.
Okay. So that's a possibility he's not playing Friday.
Could be. And look, yeah. And that's the thing when you look at that team that you wonder if they're going to hold up or not, right? And I think that's the thing that is going to be interesting to me. See if they can hold up. I mean, I just, that's the thing. I mean, look, when they're healthy and they're clicking, they're a tough team to beat. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. So it's about their health. It's about them being able to stay healthy. And that has been his issue for Kawhi, James Harden, even Paul George as well. So let's see what takes place.
But yeah, I was wondering if it was a leg injury, Gus, because I was watching the game, and I had seen him come down a little awkward off of going into the lane, and his knees buckled a little bit.
Yeah.
And I thought he might have had something wrong with his legs, but they never did say, you know, before I went to bed.
Yeah, no, so. I mean, apparently
That's a big key for that team. And let's be honest, Minnesota didn't look that great neither. Even Edwards said that the difference in the game was that their defense was down, you know, with Kawhi being out, and they were able to take advantage of it. But Minnesota could be another team sliding, too. So this is why the Pelicans
Carl Anthony Towns being out for a little bit. I'll tell you what, though, man. Anthony Edwards and, you know, Mike Conley, they took over yesterday hitting some big threes and went on that run there. And, look, they're a good team, man. They really are, and especially if Anthony Edwards continues to play or try to be that MVP candidate, man. It's something else.
Yeah, I wondering if you're watch a little bit of the squadron. So that's how bored I've been. I've been checking out these squadron games, and that Carlo looks really good, Gus.
Carlo Bakovich very first play of the squadron game yesterday, off the tip off, they alley ooped it to him, and he dunked it. And I sent it to the graph. I'm like, dude, one play, like the opening play, they're alley-ooping, dunking. Two plays later, Jordan Hawkins hits a left wing three. I'm like, all right.
And he's knocking down the threes too, Gus. Carlo's knocking down some threes too. I mean, he's that big athletic guy. The things that I'm seeing him do in the G League is outstanding. I'm pretty sure they're not going to put him on a team until next year. But, I mean, that's a bright spot to look at. I can tell you that much because that dude there looks very physical when he plays. Even his screens, when you see him when you see him set a screen out there, man, you're gonna get your head knocked off if you come at him too hard, because he's a big physical guy, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, and the Saints, you know, the Saints are gonna do what the Saints do. They're gonna push money around, and we're gonna be able to get, you know, whatever pretty much middle of the road guys that come around.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the Gay signing. I think the kid is I think the guy plays really well, but I think he's another one with health issues. You know, he plays a little bit of the season and usually out for something or another, but hopefully we don't bring a lot of those type of guys in that have these health issues. We can get some other guys in, because I see we're getting Chase to come in, and we're going to try to get him on the team too. Issues. Can he last the season? You know, so that's the issue with the guys that they try to get a lot of times, is that we get guys that have these health issues, and it never works out really well for us.
Mm.
So I know that Justin Wilson is off the block as far as a backup quarterback, though, Gus. I know that for a fact.
Justin Wilson. How many times did I call him Justin Wilson?
Yeah, a bunch during the week, man. But I never did call back. I never could call back.
It's crazy. I
know what it is, dude. You're thinking of Wilson with the Broncos, and then you're thinking of Justin with the Bears, and you kept going Justin Wilson, and you're thinking of Wilson moving and him moving. And
well, there you go.
I got it. But it was you, funny man. You had me cracking up, laughing, man. I was like, that's gonna be some. Well, now you know why Russ cooks.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that. Now I also know, you know, well, I also know that people on message boards think I'm an idiot. So there you go. I'll say this,
man.
Though.
You're the best, Gus.
Well, let me tell you what.
You got the best program in town, dude.
Well, man, I appreciate that, buddy. Make sure you record that. One of the things that I do like, and I would like to see this organization maybe kind of, because of where they are at the cap and do those things, maybe kind of think a little proactively. Or I know maybe I'm again an idiot, but what if the Bears gave you Justin Fields, not Wilson, for fifth round? Like I'm just thinking in this offense. I mean, remember the 49ers? They went and got Trey Lance because they thought that's what, you know, they wanted with this, and Brock Purdy being able to move around a bit. The ball's out of that quarterback's hands quickly. I almost think, and again, I'm not saying that Justin Fields can't be a guy that processes the field, but, man, it was a game last year in Tampa, and here's Gary wide open over the middle. He just he takes a sack. You know, it's kind of one of those things that you're hoping that doesn't happen with Derek Carr here, that the system's built in. Dude, you're getting rid of the ball, you know? And the formations are going to help you get guys open and things of that nature. But you add that dynamic, I'm calling just to see what the offer is.
Oh, I'm definitely calling.
I mean, look.
Yeah, and I don't think the kid. I don't think the kid is horrible, Gus.
Well, dude, he's 6'3", 228. Look, he's 6'3", 228. Taysom Hill is 6'2", 221. And quite honestly, you could make the case and argument that he's the best athlete the Saints have on the offensive side of the football. I mean, his speed, he can catch the ball, I can do all this. Now, I'm not saying that Justin Fields can do that, but I don't know. I mean, they're both a quarterback. I mean, he's a QB and things of that nature.
It's a good prospect. It's definitely a good prospect, prospect for the Saints and the way that the league is going. A running quarterback that can throw the ball. You know, that you can teach and you can get some time in behind.
Bingo.
Yeah, get some time in behind Carr and kind of learn the NFL a little bit more. You know, he was just thrown into the fire, and guys like that to get thrown into the fire a lot of times don't succeed right away. Mm-hmm. But you do see it probably later on down the line. Look, Mahomes didn't even get thrown into the fire. He had a quarterback ahead of him before he started.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, I see it, Gus. I'm with you on that. If you can get him for a fifth round pick, and you don't have to pick up his fifth year option, because at that time you don't have to pick up that fifth year option.
Right,
so
right.
It's worth the money.
It's worth the phone call. You know,
yes.
It's worth the phone call to be like, "Hey, I'm interested," and have them come back with a counter offer, and then if I like it or not.
I think it's more likely than what you think, Gus, that they're gonna try because they don't have a backup quarterback.
Again, yeah, I mean, I know what Sean said, and he's right. There's a lot of, Jake is really good at processing, picks up things quick. I understand all of that. I also see what my eyes see. And he had trouble outrunning anybody last year when he played in preseason games. He is accurate. He is gritty. I love his command in the huddle. That's all great. I'm talking about somebody that can score a touchdown on his own, make a play with his legs, maybe with his arm.
And
you're
they're,
not.
They're judging, but look, they're judging him off of a different offense. This offense that's going to be ran now,
correct,
is not correct. Made for what he does.
I wouldn't be suggesting Justin Fields if Pete Carmichael is still the offensive coordinator. That's not.
No.
In this system. When I look at what 49ers do, Brock Purdy's successful because he's not being asked to hold on to that football, look left or right on the field, diagnose and diagram different mics and all that. It's literally the formations helping you tell you what you're doing, hut, ball out of your hands. A guy like Justin Fields in that offense, dude. I mean, I'm just saying, like, imagine somebody coming in and you fake the end around and Rashid Shaheen, he takes off running. Who's tackling 6'3", 228 at full speed? I'm just saying, he's bigger than Taysom
That's
Hill,
point.
People.
Yeah, I got you, Gus.
Yeah, he's bigger than Taysom Hill. So,
yes.
I mean, I'd make a phone call.
Yes.
Thank you, bud.
I'm making the phone call. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Aaron Summers joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Open segment coming up next. Scott Benjamin's a little busy. He's got a big game to call. Aaron Summers, Saints and Pelicans team reporter. You know all about being busy. You're doing some championships of your own here as well as it is March Madness. And now you're back over to the Smoothie King Center. NFL news is going on here as well. You ready to get going, girl?
Hey, there's a lot going on. I am definitely ready.
Let's start since you are Saints reporter as well, team reporter. Just your honest opinion. Just wherever you were, whenever it happened that you found out Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, first initial thought in your head was what?
Wow. I was kind of shocked. I knew that they were in the quarterback market. I know they've been looking and talking about drafting a quarterback. I didn't know that they were going to go out and get Kirk. I didn't expect anyone to go out and get him and pay him that much money, considering he is 35 coming off an Achilles. But it makes the Derek Carr deal look a little bit better because we paid him a lot of money too. And now the NFC South, it kind of looks, it looks a lot different. You got Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, Baker Mayfield resigns with the Bucks, you know, bless the Panthers, not sure what they're going to do, but it's going to be a little tougher, I think, this year to get some W's.
Yeah. You know, as you said, with Baker going to the Bucks, you see what the Falcons are sort of doing, all those aspects of it. I think when it comes to the Saints, it's kind of a wait-and-see approach here towards the end of this week to see what, I guess, players they can or cannot move or even keep and stay. So I am interested to see how that all, you know, goes, and we don't know. Obviously, until moves come in and the draft comes and all that. But when you look around the NFL, there's one big storyline that really stood out to me, Aaron. And I don't know if you saw Adam Schefter's tweet. I think it was yesterday, the day after all the running backs moved. Mm-hmm. And the amount of running backs that have switched teams are remarkable on that. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was I kind of felt like running back had a resurgence last year. Like the run game teams are being more physical at the line, either on defense, but also I saw running be a more important factor in the NFL. Am I wrong on that?
No, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we had a lot of backup quarterbacks in as well, so they had to rely more on a run game because there's less opportunity for your quarterback to make a mistake there. But I think that it happens in the NFL. It goes through ebbs and flows of what they value and what they're trying to do. And I think that they are definitely trying to utilize a run game more because it does allow you to open up your offense more, makes you less predictable. We saw that a lot last season.
Right.
It's going to be really interesting to see how things change for the Saints under Clint Kubiak because he's somebody that likes to utilize tight ends and fullbacks and running backs and every position really, and really kind of set you up for just meticulous down the field, quick plays, and not really as much of those big, home runs like we were seeing towards the end of the season with Rashid Shaheed or Chris Olave. So it'll be interesting to see how much they rely on a run game going forward. Obviously, that brings us back to, okay, well, we're going to have to start talking a little bit more about what's going on with the offensive line. But going back to your original statement, there are a lot of running backs that are going to be playing for division rivals and going to be seeing their former teams twice a year now. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's crazy when you look at that list. I'm trying to scroll through it, through all the different aspects that you've been getting. I just saw Chauncey Gardner-Johnson going back to the Eagles after a year with the Lions. Three-year contract, $33 million there. But, yeah, so Derrick Henry to the Ravens, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, Joe Mixon traded to the Texans from the Bengals, Zach Moss to the Bengals, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, Josh Jacobs to the Packers, Austin Eckler to the Commanders, Tony Pollard to the Titans, DeAndre Swift, Bears, Devin Singletary, Giants, Gus Edwards, Chargers, Antonio Gibson, Patriots. And as you mentioned, when you think of the opponents for 2024, the Saints are going to face most of those. I mean, they're facing the NFC East and the AFC West as well. With the, Packers are in there, Bears in there, oh my. So it'll be interesting to kind of see where that goes. But, yeah, it's crazy when you look at what all these other teams are sort of doing, man. It's almost like an arms race, isn't it?
It is, but I think going into this, the Saints, front office, they kind of said it without saying it, but not to expect a lot of a crazy move.
Right.
Because you put a lot of money towards Derek Carr last season. The cap is what it is. We got a little help with them increasing it, but, it's still not enough to go out and make a huge splash, but I don't think they also feel like they need to because they feel pretty confident where they're at in majority of the positions. I think they're looking at some areas of depth, maybe just to kind of help out. We saw them what looked like picking up a fullback and a linebacker.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they continue to try to fill some holes in free agency or they're really going to try to go after people in the draft.
Xander Horvath, how to say that slowly, is the fullback the team signed.
What a name, right?
Xander Horvath. I mean, again, love the name. It's literally like one of those, screen names you would use on like Among Us or something that my kid would use. but it works. All right, look, you also the Pels team reporter. We just chatted earlier this morning with the Pels podcast, speaking with Aaron Summers, team back at it. Last week, I thought it was the most important road trip of the season. Lots of teams in the West playing one another. If he can go 3-0. You'd get some space, some comfiness, and you can move up in the standings. So here we are, three straight here at home. Why are these three at home just as important now with 18 left?
Well, I think you want to definitely take advantage of being here on your home court, having some time at home. But if you kind of look at the opponents, these are winnable games. You think about the Cavs, they're going to be without several of their usual starters, rotational players. Looks like the Clippers might be without Kawhi Leonard on Friday night, and that goes into a back-to-back against Portland. So if you can get these games, it would be huge because the schedule gets ridiculously harder for the Pelicans down the stretch. So you want to load up as many wins as you can now. I mean, they played the toughest schedule in the NBA in January and came out of it 8-7, so they didn't do themselves, you know, didn't put themselves in a hole or anything like that. They did what you would have expected them to do with that type of a schedule. And now in this last month, they have really taken advantage of maybe playing some lesser opponents. Mm-hmm. And this team hasn't always done that. They haven't always taken care of business. Sometimes they'll play down to their opponent. So that's something, again, tonight you want to make sure that you don't do, knowing that they're going to be without several key players on the team.
One of the things that I think one of the reasons why the Pels are kind of where they are, too, is Trey Murphy is back. How nice has that been?
Man, Trey Murphy has been playing just unbelievable. And I think it's what everybody expected at the beginning of the year before he hit his hurt his meniscus originally. We had seen so much work that he was doing in the gym, working on counter moves, working on putting the ball on the floor, going to the basket, not just being your spot-up shooter from outside. And he's getting to showcase a little bit of versatility to his game now. But in the last road trip, he averaged 24 points to lead the team. He hit 18 threes. He's been doing extremely well, and it just opens things up for this team so much more. And then you add in the fact that Herb Jones has been shooting 53.5% from outside since January 1st.
Just like you predicted.
If you would have told me somebody on this team from that draft class was shooting 53.5%, you know, since January, I would have thought it was Trey, right? Like, I wouldn't have guessed that it was Herb Jones, but the fact that he's doing that just elevates this team so much more, because you have to respect so many of these players on the team for whether it is from outside. You can't just double, or heck, we were seeing teams triple Zion earlier in the year. So it is just, it's been really good for the team in general to have Trey click the way that he has been.
You know, the other element, too, and you mentioned Zion, it's crazy because I feel like you're seeing not only that joy, obviously, that you maybe saw. It's been a bit, man. I mean, I want to say Duke, when I look at those highlights, too, where he impacted the defensive end, getting above the rim. You're seeing a lot more of the alley-oops and things of that nature. But I almost think, too, Brandon Ingram's play, 7 points. In a win on Sunday, and you're like, and I'm like, how? It felt like he was so much more impactful, but he had 10 assists. Brandon Ingram this season, how surprised have you been with his play? And probably by no coincidence, where the Pels are right now.
I don't care what his stats say, because you can look at him, and his points, his rebounds, his minutes are all down. Mm-hmm. It does not matter. If you watch him play basketball, he's just better. He's better than what we've seen him be. He's out there being the leader. He's taken over. He's distributing the ball. He's putting his teammates in great positions for success. And that's what you want. And he knows when it's his time versus somebody else's. And he leans into that. And I think that that's been huge for this team, because it's not only him, it trickles down. That everybody is playing unselfish. They're really playing for each other. And you brought up Zion Williamson earlier. It's just funny. It just made me think about, remember when we talked to him at the beginning of the year, like every press conference, he was so short.
Two words.
He barely said anything. Yeah. And you were like, man, what's up with Zion? Like, is he just mad at all the outside noise? Is he just going to lock in and focus and not say much? And we're kind of like, this is not the same Zion that we've dealt with, you know, even through everything. He'd usually been pretty good with the media. But of late, he's really opened back up again. He's smiling. He's joking. Mm-hmm. I think that he just wanted to prove to himself, probably more than anything, that he can get back to where he was before and wasn't going to really relax or enjoy it until he felt like he was where he needed to be. And right now, he's having a lot of fun, and yeah. he's made several comments about how important it is to get to the playoffs and make a run with this team.
I'll just say this. It is nice that our discussion and our angst comes from the national media not respecting us, as opposed to Zion wants to be in New York. Zion is with the chefs and the pizza and the McDonald's and all that. I will take that the national media doesn't respect us any day off of that. Okay, you can't win three in a row without winning the first one. One key that you're going to be focusing on when you're there on the baselines tonight at the Smoothie King Center for the Cavs.
I think you have to respect this team regardless of who's on or off the court tonight. Mm-hmm. They're still third in the league in defense, so they have that mentality, and they're going to play tough. They're going to be difficult to the guard. They're going to give you a hard time. So I think you just have to keep that in mind and not overlook what they are because of, I think they have three players that are going to be out and then Donovan Mitchell being questionable. So that's what it is. You got to lock in and focus and continue to play the way that you have, especially, you know, knowing that they're still going to play you tough coming in off of a couple bad games for them. I'm sure they want to get right, too.
Aaron E. Summers, the way to give a follow over on X. Aaron, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Hopefully, I don't know, go take a nap or something. We'll see you tonight.
Yeah, see you in a little while.
See you in a little bit. Quick break. We come back. Jack Benjamin's going to join us coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. He was scheduled for 1:30. He's wrapping up some interviews for the game because the Colonels, what did they do? Well, they won in dramatic fashion in overtime. Got some of those highlights here as well. 1:45, Jeff Boggs is coming up. Sean Fox, 2:15, and at 2:30, we will talk with Ralph Marlborough. So if you want to get in, I got an open segment here as well. Your thoughts, Saints fans, on Xander Horvath. He's a fullback that the team signed, and also Willie Gay Jr. Three fumble recoveries and an interception last year with the Chiefs. 1 year, $5 million deal. And how crazy am I? Should the Saints be trying to go get Justin Fields, not Justin Wilson? Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
And the lights to talk. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Am I nuts? Tell me I'm nuts. Because quite honestly, you have to try to convince me that, look, I have no idea if the Saints would even do this. I have no idea if Justin Fields would even entertain it, much less his agent or anything of that nature. But I was just kind of thinking yesterday, when you keep hearing over and over again, there's no market for Justin Fields. Matt Jones, 15th pick overall. I know Fields went higher, but he went to the Jags for a 6th-round pick. Saints have like oodles and boodles of 5th-round picks. No 3rd, no 4th. I'm at least calling. I'm just thinking in this offense, how they use the quarterback. System predicated in hut out of your hands. Like, that's what they want the quarterback to do. Which, again, if you're a Saints fan, you're hoping that's the case, because that's Derek Carr's, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000. Dude, I'm done with my nachos, 4,000, 5,000. Yeah, I'll take another beer, 6,000, 1,000, 7,000, sack, right? So you're hoping that that changes for him. But I'm just thinking in this offense, Taysom Hill can really excel, but as we always have a call every now and then to let us know. I think it's Josh. He lets us know how much the salary is and the money, and his deal's starting to come towards the end. What about Justin Fields being the next of Taysom Hill in this offense particularly? A guy that you can come in and out of and run, you know, fake end arounds or the end around to Rashid Shaheed like they do with Debo Samuel. Back split left and right of him. There's Kamara and Kendre Miller. Fields takes the snap, fakes one way or another. Does the, you know, hey, am I keeping it? Am I handing it off sort of thing? Maybe I'm nuts. But Taysom Hill's 6'2", 221. Now, I know he's chiseled and he's put together. I get it. Justin Fields is 6'3", 228. Very similar. And again, I was just thinking about it yesterday. Some of the best moments for Justin Fields was when he ran the football. He's got an arm, too. I'm not asking him to be my starting quarterback just yet. I don't know. Maybe he grows into this. I'm looking at this offense, and again, I'm not ripping Brock Purdy. But my goodness gracious, people were talking about him as about being an MVP candidate. And when you see him work in that offense, there's some limitations with his size, there's some limitations with his arm. Justin Fields has more size. Justin Fields has bigger arm than Brock Purdy. Now, can he process that? Can he understand it? Can he run it? I don't know. I'm just saying it's worth the phone call. They could hang up on me. Dude, don't call back unless you're offering a 2 or a 1. Okay. That's fine. I'm at least inquiring. And it has nothing to do with Jake. Justin Fields, though, is 6'3", 228. I've seen what Taysom Hill can do. I'm thinking of this offense with Shanahan. It's confusing to the defenses. It's motion. It's this. It's that. It's the quarterback calling Hutton. It's out of his hands. Biggest critique that I would give Justin Fields is that there were plays last year where my guy could not see a wide open receiver. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking, as Brian, who's likely mile high out west, says, I'm bullish on him. No, I look. When you ain't got money to go spend and I'm trying to go find big playmakers on offense, that receiver or running back and things of that nature, I'm just saying, if I can get a guy that has that kind of athleticism and maybe I can buy low because of the market and because of a lack of interest, it's worth the phone call. And I'm just, look, Derek Carr's got to prove to me, right? I mean, are you sold Derek's here for another 3-4 years if he can make it work or not? And who's after Derek? And, I mean, are you cool with Jake? Like, I would rather see what Justin Fields can sort of do, huh? Than Flacco or Zach Wilson or something. I don't know. I tell me if I'm nuts or not. West Bank Rick, what do you got for me tonight, sir?
I don't think you're nuts, bro. That sounds like something that would be a smart thing to do, but we're talking about the Saints organization, which told us that we're going to keep our continuity together. We're going to just, all we need to do is just change the coach and everything going to flow well. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, we got this offensive coordinator. We're going to stick with him. He's doing a great job. You know, we're exceeding. We're making explosive plays. I mean, we could go down the line. Until they show me, but other than that, going on 3 years or 4 years or whatever. So, and then they done changed the whole team. Like, everybody's different on there. I don't even know hardly any of the coaches. So, I want to point out what Aaron Summers was talking about. Mm-hmm. She said something about the record with Herb Jones. With shooting above 50 since January 1st, I heard that the other day, and I was like, golly, this dude here. That's why I had told you before. It's like, oh, I remember last year when Zion said, well, you know, I don't know how better he can get. Yeah, I would have to see because this is awesome. And then he'd do it again this year, and he's getting even better. Mm-hmm. So I don't. Every year I've been watching Herb. I mean, I talked to somebody. I said, man, when did Herb start? Because, you know, Trey was the first round draft pick, and yep, he still ain't cut in front of Herb yet. So I'm sitting there saying, who was supposed to have been the first round draft pick? And one of the people went and did a redraft, and they still pick Trey before Herb, but Herb wasn't that far behind because of what he's doing right now. If it was a redraft, he wouldn't be a second rounder. So, and when you said about the contract, man, unbelievable. I heard Ross say the linebacker we got was a steal. This is a steal. I mean, where you could get a guy, and he's better than what Drew was as a two-way player. I know I'm bragging on one guy, and I know what Zion been doing. I know what B.I. been doing. I expect those things from them. But what I did not expect is a second rounder coming and knocking a first rounder out of a spot that he would normally would have and just taking over. And nobody don't want to get rid of him. Don't say, hey, we might trade him. People lose their mind. And he's not the highest scoring player on the team. He's just the captain. And, Gus, I saw when we had the Hornets.
Yeah.
And I was telling you why they don't have captain patches. But when Chris Paul was here, it looked like he had a C on his jersey. So mm-hmm. did they just stop doing that or what?
Huh, you know what? Let me text Todd. I don't know. I could. Yeah, you're right. They did have C's on their jerseys, huh?
Yeah, because it was just an old play. And I saw it. I was like, man, Chris Paul had a C on it. Was he the captain then? And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe they might have had it. It was something I probably just didn't remember.
So. I'm literally texting Todd right now. I want to say he did in the Hornets jersey, right?
Yeah, the Hornets.
They might have stopped.
It was the Hornets.
I don't know.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I think now you have the swoosh, so you have the athletic apparel logo, and now you also have that upper corner is a sponsor, right? Don't you have a
right.
sponsor?
Right.
Now you have like whatever it is. Ibotta, I think it's for the Pels, right? So I mean,
Ibotta.
So I think that's maybe where that like where would you put the C?
Maybe that's it was on that. It was on the little shoulder, like
right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, you have a swoosh on one shoulder,
right? Right.
Or the Jumpman logo, and now you have the corporate sponsor logo. So I guess you put it below the back of the name.
Yeah, I was about to say. I would say. Put it in the back, I guess, in the center.
Graf doesn't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't, that would be my guess as to why it's not there anymore. But you're right. I do remember it. You're right. I do remember it being a C there. So my guess is it's not as important to let you know who the captain is anymore. It's more important to let you know that Chef Scotty now sponsors. There's Katie's logo. I wonder if he cut that check. Come on, Chef Scotty, cut the check, at least for like the red jerseys or something. Or the Skullican jerseys.
Oh, I love the skeleton, and I really love those jerseys. I mean, it really pops for the city. But I want to also say that I heard someone say that we are sixth in using the zone, and I noticed that we played in the last few games. We've been mm-hmm. playing a lot of zone, and it's been helping the team out when you know they didn't use it with Jonas. Instead of using a drop, they use a zone, and I thought that kind of helped out with the team a lot and confused a lot of other players, but. You can't use the zone on everything, so I think our defense should go up a little bit, being that they practicing on that zone and doing man, and Herb just locking down the best player that's playing. So, man, they say we can't get to the third spot, but these injuries, and you got 18 games left, you just don't know. And I've been knocking on wood everywhere I go. It's like, can we just go this whole year with no injuries? Just no injuries. Let everybody else go through it because we know what it feels like when we lose our player. We hear people talking about, oh, we want to trade this dude. He's injury prone. And I'm sitting there saying, what? Just like, man, wait till you get healthy. I mean, when you get sick, do you still go to work? No, you take a break. You go to the doctor and find out what's wrong with you. The people don't want to get rid of you just because you got sick. I mean, some people just be saying some crazy things. And I hope they just take back what they said about getting rid of Zion.
Well, that probably ain't going to happen, ever. It is what it is, man. West Bank Rick,
Have
a good one tonight. We'll see you over at the Blender. We come back. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE, is next. It's the Sports Hangover brought to you by Chris's Favings on ESPN New Orleans.
Romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003 as we bring in Mr. Jeff Fox, KNAE. Sir, how are you?
Doing good. Looking forward to a little afternoon baseball.
Ah, I love that. You're a Cubby fan. I'm a Cubby fan here as well. When do we get excited? When do we start getting excited about the new season?
If we're still in the race in mid-August.
Okay.
That's when we get excited. No, I'm looking forward to it.
Are you?
I really think the Cubs have made a lot of good moves over the last couple of years. And you know, I like how strong their minor league system is. I think they've got some depth. They continue to bring in guys who can play multiple positions. I love all those different variables. Let's hope the pitching holds out like 30 or 29 other teams hope.
Yeah, I hear you. I just hope we're not out of it by April. You know what I mean?
There you go.
It'll make me better. Look, last year was nice. I wasn't really expecting much, and every game mattered until then. You know, they couldn't win a single game in the final 20 games and missed the postseason. But it at least made me keep watching throughout the season, man. All right, let's get to it.
And really, the Cubs were in the race until the last week. And again, if I get bad, I'm a pretty happy guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, as long as we're still in it at some point during the next couple of months, I am cool with that. All right, man, Pelicans taking on Cavaliers tonight. They're third in the East. Pels are fifth in the West. They may be without some players, but they're still pretty good. How do you see this one?
Well, again, as you mentioned, 39-25 overall, 18-12 at home. Cleveland, 41-24 overall, 19-11 on the road, and that's a pretty good number. Pelicans have dominated the series, though, in recent years. Not that this is not a different team, but they've won seven of the last 10 meetings against the Cavaliers. Pels come in at minus 5.5, so, again, they're the favorite. 216.5 over-under, and Pelicans, I'm seeing the money line and the overall line moving toward Cleveland, but Pelicans minus 240, Cavs plus 220. Couple of things you may want to know. Pels, of course, playing very well right now. You know that is better than me. But again, their three-point shooting has been really good, almost 15% better than the opposition. Zion Williamson, he continues to be playing well and looks fit. Cleveland, they've been a dominant force so far, but they're in the middle of a mini slump at the moment. Cavs fell to Phoenix, 117-111. Last time out, Cavs were up 19 in the second half, but still couldn't manage to put away that game. I'm kind of feeling good about the home team tonight.
Yeah, I like that. I would feel good about it, too. It'd be their fifth straight win as they have won four in a row. So it's always a good thing. All right. You got Dallas, Golden State, man. Lakers and Kings also going tonight. Both of those games you want to be paying attention to. But when you look at Dallas, what do you see in this game tonight?
Well, again, another big Western Conference matchup tonight. Dallas hosting Golden State. Dallas 37-28 overall, 19-15 though at home. Golden State 34-30 overall, 17-13 on the road. Again, 7.5-point favorite are the homestanding Mavericks. Mavericks over under 233.5. Mavs minus 290 on the money line. Warriors plus 240, and that has been moving toward the Mavericks. And I'm kind of leaning in large part against that. Golden State, 2-2-1 against the spread without Steph Curry, and they're going to be without Steph Curry again tonight. So, again, leaning toward the Mavericks on this one. Give the 7.5 points.
Okay, I see that. I see that. That game's coming up at 7:30 here in a quick second. So, looking forward to what these games will sort of be. Hey, I'm also looking forward to Nichols, man, as they have a shot to go dancing. They're a win away from getting into NCAA tournaments. They take on McNeese, the favorite, the team that I guess surprised a lot of people this year. I thought they'd play well under Will Wade, but man, they've been, you know, the standard so far in the conference play. But if the Colonels can get past them, they'll go dancing.
Yeah, and a game that's on ESPN New Orleans a little later on, tipping off at 4 or so. But, again, Nichols clash at 4 o'clock. They're in the Legacy Center, of course, which is McNeese's new facility, on-campus basketball facility compared to Burton Coliseum, which a little bit south of campus. 16.5-point favorites are McNeese. 130.5. This is the funny thing. We've been talking basketball point spreads and over-unders. The over-under, 135.5. It just seemed funny looking at it because it's been such a long time since I've looked at an over-under that low. But McNeese, minus 2,500 on the money line. Nichols, plus 1,100. You know, I've been saying much of this year, Will Wade is on his revenge tour, and I just see McNeese covering the 16.5. Rooting for Nichols, but I just can't see Will Wade not wanting to win this and win this big and send a big statement to the NCAA tournament committee, which probably is more than likely to make him a play-in game no matter what if they do end up winning this conference tournament. So I see Will Wade trying to really make a statement today.
Well, see what takes place. Jack Benjamin will have the call. He's going to join us here at the top of the third hour at 2 o'clock. How can people get involved in ESPN Bet, sir?
As always, we encourage you to download the app. It's live in Louisiana now, has been for nearly a couple of months. ESPN Bet, the only place to find daily exclusives, offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today, new users, or any time you sign up, but why not today? $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. ESPN Bet, download it today. You know, it's a great play. Got to be 21 or older, and if you've got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LeBurge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details, and maybe check out the app for one more thing. Got a kick out of the North Dakota State LSU game, which was scheduled for one, moved up to four. Don't think that affected the line, but how about a $10 bet to win $100 on North Dakota State today?
There you go.
-3,500 is LSU. North Dakota State +1,000 on the money line.
Jeff Box, as always, man, appreciate the phone call, and we will chat again tomorrow at 1:45. Talk a little ESPN bets and talk about some other games. Hopefully, the Pels 5-game winning streak, sir. Thank you so much, man.
My pleasure. Take care.
Yep, for sure. As we mentioned, Jack is going to hop on and give us a little bit of a breakdown and a preview here. Sean Fox at 2:15, Ralph Marlboro coming up at 2:30. So we have a few minutes here before we wrap up the hour if you want to chime into the conversation. Pels taking on the Cavs tonight. And one of the things Willie Green was talking about was the goal perhaps for the final 18.
You always have a number set of goals. You know, you have some goals that are super, super high, and you have some goals that are right in front of you that's attainable. We're always trying to be the best team that we can be. And if we can win all 18 games, well, we win all 18 games. But if not, the bare minimum is that we want to try to be 6 and above. And wherever that takes us, we'll be ready for that.
I like that for sure. That is something that you are hoping for. And again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show today, the Pels are in a good spot. 18 left. And you got a good 5-4 game lead on 9 and 10. You just don't want to be in that play-in, win-or-go-home situation for sure, but other ones as well. So, you got a lot of basketball to be played, and a lot of things can happen, but you at least are starting in the right spot. And I think that it's got to make you feel a little bit better on that. As to where the team is right now, here's Coach.
It's a blessing, to be honest with you. It's a blessing for our team to be healthy and to be clicking at this point in the season. And this is kind of what we projected, is that we would be rolling around this time. And now it's really up to us on how far we want to go and dialing into the details, taking it game by game, not getting too ahead of ourselves, not putting too much pressure on ourselves, but enjoying this process.
And look, I think a lot of it, too, is just the fact that a lot of your players are gaining in confidence. And I love this. This is from Ed Daniels, sports director over there at Channel 26.
Coach, are you guys a contender now?
We still got work to do. You know, I don't want to get here and say we're a contender. We have work to do. The possibilities that we could be, but it's a lot of work in front of us, and that's our mentality, is just stay working game by game, and if we do that, we feel like we'll be in a good place.
But when you win all of those games on the road, that's not an accident, right?
No, it's not an accident.
I mean, but that, don't you think that's kind of a telltale sign when you can do that?
Well, for me, the telltale sign is where you finish, how you finish the season. And right now, we have 18 games in front of us. This can still be a tight race coming down the stretch. And we want our focus to maintain Cleveland and then the next game after and not get too ahead of ourselves. But we definitely are confident in what we can do. We leave it at that.
There it is. Hour 2 has been brought to you by Chris's Paving. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Paving it? Call 985-960-2131. Hour 3 next. A Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.